We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringutang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Happy Cyber Monday. There he is, Danny Meringue in the building.
The happiest football monkey that ever existed.
Why is that?
Oh, no reason. No reason at all. No reason at all.
Are you going to be insufferable fan today?
Oh, today?
Are we going to do that?
No, not one bit. Okay. Definitely not one bit.
Woo-hoo. Man.
What a sports weekend for me.
It was a great sports weekend, period.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those weekends where everything was just...
Go.
I love it because it was just sheer chaos.
It was a whole bunch of bananas, wasn't it?
There was carnage in the streets all over the place. And all the while, my wife just had this totally unreasonable approach to the weekend that I needed to be like decorating the house and Christmas stuff as everything is, all the carnage is unfolding in front of my very eyes.
Yeah,
we don't have time for this. We can't do this. What are we doing here?
Yeah,
we got to put our focus on what is happening Saturday and Sunday.
So I came home on Friday after the show, and my house had been transformed from fall to Christmas.
Mm.
The entire house.
Oh.
Just Christmas.
Just there.
Everywhere. It was...
There you go.
I was impressed. I was like, well done, honey.
All right.
Well done.
Well, you got that. You get that house decorated. Now the important things are football time.
Yes.
Football time. And that here's the thing that was great about Saturday. And Sunday, really. Sunday was just so weird having so few games on. You know?
Right, it was.
Because you have your three on what's it called? Thanksgiving. And then you also have your Monday night game. So it took a lot of teams out of the picture, but you had chaos at every single turn from Saturday all the way through to Sunday. You had to be watching football all day long because of just the weird drunk games that you had. Like, for instance, I don't know how much we're going to talk about this, but that Sunday night game last night was a great kind of exclamation point to it where I don't think I've ever seen a team particularly dominate a game like the Philadelphia Eagles did, whether it was Jalen Hurts running for 100 yards in the first quarter by himself or the fact they ran for 363 yards on the Green Bay Packers.
Is that good?
Yeah. And then that game was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Like, we're sitting there looking down, and I'm going, how in the world is this game even close? The Eagles are absolutely dominating the Green Bay Packers, yet it's a one-score game. It's 40-33. Like, they cleared the over in the first half.
Yeah, there was a lot of that this week in the NFL.
By the way, all of this happening when Aaron Rodgers is hurt and Jordan Love is coming in the game and playing serviceably at the end. And you're like, if they don't drop two balls, they may have a chance to win
probably
that
win
football
game. Yeah.
Or tie it and go to overtime. But it was crazy throughout the day. Every single time frame from Saturday morning where you had the game between Michigan and Ohio State, and then you go all the way through to everybody having to watch the Apple Cup all the way through because of what was on the line in the Apple Cup.
I can't wait to see the ratings.
What the hell?
For that game, because that game went from nobody but the mutuals watching and Washington State watching it to everyone in the Pac-12 watching it.
It was perfect. It was perfect. It was a great game.
USC fans are watching it to see who they're playing.
Oof.
Utah's seeing to see if they're in it. Oregon's watching to see if they're in it. And neither team playing has any chance at this point of making it into the playoff.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, making it into the Pac-12 championship.
Pac-12 championship game, because that ended for UW with UCLA beating Cal the day before. Like, and that must have been like the first wheel to first domino to fall to be like, okay, this is going to get weird, and it's going to get very weird, and the Apple Cup will have a lot to say about it. But as it is, Washington gets two wins over Oregon this year, head-to-head, and keeping them out of the Pac-12 championship
and
game.
They'll let them know.
Man, oh, as they should, because that's what rivalries are for.
Too soon.
That's what rivalries are for. It is too soon. Look, one thing that is very hard is fans getting in their feelings after games, because it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to everybody. You call yourself a basket of cats when you watch your teams play.
Oh, God.
It is a roller coaster of emotions that we saw fan bases going through on Saturday.
From
all over the country because of the weirdness that was happening.
Clemson getting taken to a woodshed.
What?
Nobody saw coming.
No. Well, I mean, wasn't that a one-point game? Wasn't that 31-30? Was that the final of that?
Yes, yeah, so I'm just talking as far as physicality. Like
I was like,
no.
I feel like that game was really close.
No, they were just physically beat up.
Beaten.
It was, you don't see that happen to a Clemson team.
No. No, you don't. And Nick, it's all over the country where LSU somehow, some way, they had a way to be. Look, there was a lot of chaos that we're going to have to unfold, and we will as the show goes on today. But from football, we also had World Cup soccer happening.
There you go.
I woke up this morning and apparently USA Soccer is in some sort of international incident.
Yeah,
that one coming.
They may have modified Iranian flag in their social media post.
Okay. And now it is. It's really kind of what we expected this World Cup to be, which is an international incident will happen at some point. This is all just kind of banter. Something ridiculous, even more ridiculous and potentially dangerous is going to happen moving forward. So we got that. Hey, we had the PKI and PK Legacy right here in our own backyard.
And you had some absolute stinkers in the first couple days, and you had some phenomenal games across the weekend.
And because those three of those phenomenal games, we talked about it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It was the University of Portland Pilots taking North Carolina to the brink. During our show on Friday, we played a swaggasm of UP beating Villanova in impressive fashion. And then they damn near beat Michigan State and Tom Izzo.
They should have won that
they
game.
They should have fouled at the end. You know what? We'll have to talk about that amongst a lot of other things with Shante Leggings, the coach of the Portland Pilots. He's going to join us coming up at 1:30 today. Coach Legg's going to hop on the phone at 1:30. We're going to talk some Pilots basketball because, look, you can't – three games against those three blue-blood basketball
the
opponents.
The bluest of blue-blood opponents.
And you win one impressively.
And you compete in the other two to come down in literally the closing minutes.
You're damn right. And you have shots to win both of those games against North Carolina and Michigan State. Look,
you're talking about teams that have been national title winners, Final Four contenders. Like, these are – perennial top 10 teams in the country, and North Carolina was number one heading into this tournament.
And that's cool, man. That's really cool to see.
That's a hell of a turn for that Pilots program.
Yep, and so we will have Coach Legs on at 1:30 today. But look, we know where the bread is buttered here. We'll have NFL, we'll have college football, we'll talk a little Blazers as well, because that road trip, for as good as that, you know, 4-2, six-game road trip went, 1-3. Not that great, Bob.
Not great.
Not that great, Bob. But we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it, and there's a lot of health issues at hand that we'll dive into.
Yeah, yeah. So we will dive into all of it today, and we got to get to it. The meltdown in Corvallis. Boy, this was also a comeback for the ages, and they're not mutually exclusive. let's dive into this game in detail. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
All right, the game formerly known as the Civil War saw the Oregon State Beavers run their way to a 38-34 win over the Oregon Ducks. And look, the two are not mutually exclusive. The Ducks melted down in the fourth quarter, and the Oregon State Beavers had a comeback for the ages, and they kept fighting. Those are not mutually exclusive. Both of those things happened.
Yes, I've seen far too many Duck fans saying that the Ducks gave this away. You can give away a lot.
No, they did.
But it's very hard to just give away 21 points.
Yes, and look, the way that this whole thing, the entire game played out, it was bizarre, to say the least, especially when you look heading into the half at 14-10. You looked at, it was felt like a prize fight. It felt like two teams that were feeling each other out in the early goings of it. You knew that the game plan for Oregon was you had to make Ben Gulbranson throw the football against you, and Oregon made him pay in the first half. I mean, it looked like if you were just sitting there and you were to say, all right, both teams over the course of this game, they did exactly what, if you were to tell them at the beginning of the game, they needed to do to win.
They did it. 100%.
The Ducks made Oregon State throw the football in that first half and early in that second half, and Oregon State looked uncomfortable. They looked like they were on their heels, and then that third quarter, it looked like that final 4 minutes and then the final 4 minutes of the second quarter, first 4 minutes of that third quarter where Oregon has been so great. It looked like we were going to see that again. Oregon scores on their final possession of the first half. They come out. They get, the three and out, and then they force a punt from Oregon State. And then they go down, or an interception. Mm-hmm. And then they go down and they score again. It's sitting there, and you're going, okay, we've seen this play out from Oregon before. And
this is the floodgates.
After the fumble, and they go down and they get a field goal, and it's 31-10. You're going, this is it for Oregon. This is exactly what they needed to do to win this game. And now all they need to do is run the football, protect the football, and you will be okay. And that's those two things, running the ball and protecting the ball, Oregon had an inability to do in the final, 19 minutes of game clock. They had, and that is Oregon State doing exactly what they need to do to win this game. Force turnovers and be dominant on your offense and defensive lines. And they, for the final 19 minutes of that game, they outplayed Oregon in the trenches on both sides.
Yes.
And it wasn't even particularly close.
No, you look at that. I honestly look at that first half and say it's a coin toss. Yeah. When you're going to the half, you can say Oregon's playing better, all those things. That's fine. I don't care. But I'm looking at going, yeah. Oregon State's still in this. This is exactly kind of what I expected this game to kind of go when we talked about on Friday. And then Oregon State opens up the second half with interception, punt, fumble.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. They are going to get housed. And that's when you start to feel the steamroll.
Here
comes the avalanche, man. And it's going to get nasty. It gets up to 31-10. And I'm like, okay.
Yep.
It's a gut check time. Now, do the Ducks make some serious mistakes? Yes. But to your point, Oregon State does not complete a pass for the next quarter and a half. And they beat the ever-living hell out of the Ducks in the trenches.
Yeah, it was their last pass attempt was the 8:26 mark of the third quarter. And then they end up running the ball 16 consecutive times to win that game. Now, here's where it is Oregon absolutely melting down.
Yes.
And, you know, this is not Oregon, and we've talked about this before. We talked about this after the Washington game, where Oregon's identity is to be aggressive on fourth down. Punting has been an issue all season long, mm-hmm. which that goes into the fact that you're going to go for it on fourth down a little bit more
yep.
when punting has been such an issue for this team. Now, there have been two parts. One, they haven't had to punt a whole hell of a lot.
No.
And their offense usually gets into that no man's land where you cross the 50. And
inside the 40, and you're going, yeah.
Four down territory now. And the other part is that you have a very aggressive head coach and a very aggressive offensive coordinator mm-hmm. in Kenny Dillingham. You saw, though, that one of them that they're getting, they called it a fumble, but and then another one they called it a turnover on downs. The official stats are Oregon was 0-for-5 on fourth down conversion attempts. One of them is the fact that they tried to punt after one of the most bizarre sequences I've ever seen. I've never seen this in my life. So when Oregon State scored to make it 34-17,
mm-hmm.
that kickoff, I've never seen a kickoff go in the air. You see it with punts all the time because a punt is a spiral that turns over and it
yeah.
starts coming down and you can get it to check up a lot easier. I have never in my life seen a kickoff go at the 1 yard line and just bounce and check up. Like that was, and it checked up and Chris Hudson was like looking around going, oh crap.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes what he can out of it and then they have a holding call that backs it up even
yeah.
more. And you're sitting there and you're like, that's not the greatest start you can have.
No.
The offense sputters out, you move backwards, and then the punter bails,
end zone.
Can't even catch the ball on a punt, which then gives the ball on the 2 yard line to Oregon State. Guess what? You don't have to throw the football with
no.
Ben Goldbranson when he's on the 2 yard line. That is one thing. The other one is when they decide, all right, we've had a punt blocked, and then our punter drops a snap. We're not going to put it in their hands anymore. We're going to go with it on fourth down in minus territory, and you get the turnover on downs in minus territory, and then you're going, OS, you know, and which is, you understand why you do that. But Bo Nix pulls the ball on a bum leg, and it was played to perfection. As Kyler Murray would say, schematically, they were effed.
Yeah, they were effed.
You know?
They did some stuff, yeah.
But that was Bo Nix pulling that ball, knowing he's not healthy. That has been such a big play for Oregon.
Oh, God. How many times has Nix taken one, not for just for a first down, but that's the play that he breaks typically mm-hmm. for the 30, 40, 50-yard play that ends up being a back-breaking play because defensively you've got him where you want him to be, and then that's where Nix shows that level of sneaky athleticism that has got him to be just one of the more successful dual threat guys in the country.
And I give that young man a ton of credit. He gutted out two games on
one leg,
the peg leg.
Yeah.
And he played admirably in both of those games, the mm-hmm. win against Utah and then this loss. That play right there, though, he was not going to get that
no,
one
he
yard.
He was never going to turn that corner. You could just see it.
And you give the Beavs a ton of credit. They knew exactly what Oregon liked to do in fourth down and short situations. Yeah. And here is one of the things. As a play caller, you don't have like this unlimited bag of plays that you're reaching into on fourth and short. as you go on and you have what they were 19 of 21 on fourth down heading into that game.
Which is insane.
Yeah. You have enough fourth down tape to go off of where Oregon State is like, yeah, we know what they feel good on in third down and short and fourth down and short.
This late in the season, there's not a whole lot of secrets.
And the Beavs were ready for it.
No.
And that is one part great coaching from Oregon State and one part of Oregon, like the execution down the stretch. Ducks got mauled up front, and that's been their backbone, man. Yep. And they were unable to get that fourth down and one. And then they were unable to capitalize on that. You have four downs inside the 5-yard line.
Yep. And Trent Ray's defense was ready.
They were ready. They knew what Oregon liked in short-yarded situations. It showed on those fourth downs. It also showed in those goal line situations. Mm-hmm. And so that is one part. That's where these are not mutually exclusive.
No.
The Beavs can come to play and win that damn game. And then Oregon melting down,
yeah,
because those are moments and times where they have gotten those yards.
Like
before.
You said, they were 19 of 21 on fourth down conversions.
Now, all of that to say, that makes it all the more frustrating when that loss happens, mm-hmm, for Duck fans, because of it had to be a perfect storm for the Beavers not to throw a pass
for the final
was
quarter
23
and a half.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Final like 23 minutes of game time. For them to erase a 21-point deficit and not throw a pass, that is one part you melted down, Oregon. And they know it. They know it. And it wasn't just one person. It was like a collective effort where it's not the offensive line and their inability to get, you know, 5 yards and four downs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the defensive line and that defensive front, which has been dynamite against the run all season long.
Yep.
They got worked over. And you knew what they were going to do, and you couldn't stop it. And we talked about that on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's coming from Oregon, yep, State, and they won't give up on it, and they didn't.
The one thing I said, again, give Martinez 15 carries. They get him to 15. Yep. They get him 100 yards. He's the bellwether guy, but they get big plays from Jam Griffin. You get big rushes from Newell. You get big rushes from Fenwick. You got guys out there who they got it done,
yeah,
offensively, even when you knew it was coming. And you've got to give Oregon State some credit. But at the same time, as far as the blowing up part of this, the Ducks ran almost 30 more plays,
yeah,
than the Beavers.
Yep.
And even though the Beavers did not throw a pass the final 20-plus minutes of the game, the Ducks had the ball for 35 minutes.
Yep.
Beavers,
they marched it
25 minutes.
Yeah, and that is it. They gave them short fields in that stretch. The touchdown drives for Oregon State. Three plays, 36 yards. Two plays, 2 yards. Four plays, 28 yards.
So, what, 75 total yards for three scores?
And that right there is that team has zero give up, and they will continue to fight. And you give Jonathan Smith all the credit in the world for getting his guys ready for that game, and in that moment, they were prepared. And this isn't to say Oregon is a poorly coached team. I don't think Oregon is a poorly coached team, because they also understand what their weaknesses are. And as much as everybody would like to have seen, you know, Oregon come out and play cover zero and load the box in those final moments and say, all right, you beat us this way, they know where the weaknesses of that defense is, and it's in the back end. You have Christian Gonzalez, who had a hell of an interception. That play was incredible.
Yes.
On the sideline. He can lock down one side, but we've talked about the holes. We've talked about the holes all season long. And so it's not as easy as just, hey, bring everybody up and say, beat them on the outside, because we've seen, ask Stanford, Treshawn Harrison, he can beat you.
Yes.
he can beat you on the final play of the game.
And the thing is, Gole Branson can, he can throw it every now and then. Like,
right,
he's got the arm talent, even if he makes poor mistakes. And if you're the Ducks, you're literally one mistake away, yeah, at any given point in time in this game. And
that's right.
You can understand that you've got a whole season's worth of tape on your defense,
yep,
knowing full well where you trust the fact that defensively you will hold up better against the run than you will if you get bitten on that play action.
Absolutely.
And so it's all about playing the percentages. Like the fourth downs, you're 19 of 21. You've been, regardless of Bo Nix is playing on one leg, You still have stuff in your back pocket that you trust. Your offensive line has allowed 2 sacks all season.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that are built and cooked into this game. You just had them all go wrong for you.
And I'll go back to this. I said this in the postgame show when I went on with Buck and Will, that this Oregon team, and it's something that Dan Lanning has said all along, and he has not shied away from it. He's been actually very vocal about it. He has said, this is my first year being a head coach. We're going to go through some things. There's going to be times where I'll make mistakes, and we're all going to grow up and we're all going to learn together. And I think that a lot of those fourth down opportunities there, I think that if you were probably to ask about it, you know, that in minus territory.
The old truth serum.
Going for it on fourth down. I would love to see kind of in hindsight what they would have thought, because they did have a punt blocked, and then they had the muffed snap by your punter. I'm wondering if on that next series, when you're in minus territory and Bo Nix ends up taking a sack on that fourth down and 11, you're fourth down and 11 in minus territory.
Yeah, that's low.
If you go, okay, we're going to roll the punt team out there, even though it's been
dicey at best.
It's been a hellscape for us today. You know, we've got to do it because this team, at that point, you know, Oregon's still up. Oregon is still up 34-31 at that point when they go for that fourth down in minus territory. And so you're sitting there and you're going, okay, if we flip the field and we make them throw the football and they actually have more than 50 yards to go, you know.
What does that do?
That truth serum. But, hey, that's not to say, like, Oregon State won that game.
Yes.
Oregon State did. But there's plenty of opportunities in miscues where Oregon, that one's going to sting for a while.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's going to sting for a long while.
I mean, you have an Oregon team that went now in the season 9-3, and your three losses were to Georgia and your two rivals.
Yep. And that's something that I know Duck fans were very emotional.
Duck fans are sideways.
But when I tweeted that out on Saturday, like, look, this is the worst way you could go 9-3. And we'll talk about this later in the show, because not all 9-3s are created equal.
No.
Because you got two other programs that are doing backflips over 9-3 in Oregon State and UCLA. And Oregon, because of the way it goes down, it's the worst 9-3 you could ask for.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this on Friday.
Any combination of games, with the way that Georgia played out, in the way that it happened in Georgia, and then losing to your rivals in close games like that.
In both fashions, yes.
It's okay to say 9-3 is still a really damn good year, and there still is a 10-win season on the table, but the way that the two rivals were the ones to
end the year.
It hurt
the most possibly painful 9-win season in Duck history.
Yeah, and you know what? That's sports, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we love sports and why we hate them and anguish them at the same time.
You know, I think maybe an underappreciated part of the Bo Nix injury, too, is that it probably kept them from being able to use him in that punt situation, a Bo Nix punt.
Oh, a little quick punt.
Got a couple of those out of Caleb Williams this weekend.
Yeah.
The old quarterback quick punts. Those are nice.
That was one heck of a football game that we saw from both Oregon and Oregon State, it doesn't get much more entertaining than
that. And that's the thing, is that game was sideways. And real quick, I want to call out one player in Oregon State. Gatan Oladapo.
Yeah.
Was
Central Catholic.
Absolutely freaking insane in that game.
Yeah.
He damn near finished with 20 tackles. 17 tackles. He was everywhere. What a performance, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seemed like Oladapo in again. I was just like, you have got to be kidding me. I remember going at the stats, looking for the live updates, tackling. I'm like, he's got 10 tackles at a half. Are you kidding me?
And that's also, like, you'd never want your guys in the secondary to be the guys that be your leading tacklers. But he was making big-time plays at the line of scrimmage. The point of attack.
Yeah.
He had a hell of a game. Look, the Beavers, Trent Bray, they announced the finalists for the Broyles Award today. And him not being a finalist on it
is a travesty.
That is incredible to think about.
Travis Shamockery.
It was incredible to not see his name on there, because he had an incredible, incredible turnaround of that Oregon State defense. And
like basically not done the yet. Same personnel.
We'll see what the almost the exact same personnel. We'll see what they do in the bowl game too, because that's going to be an interesting one now that the Pac-12 and you have four teams that are all 9-3.
That's just nuts.
Who's going to go where?
Who gets what at this point in time?
Yeah. Oh, man. 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. We'll have a ton of your feedback. I want to get to your feedback because we're already having this on the what does it look like? Was Kenny Dillingham distracted because he is taken over as the head coach at Arizona State? You have conversations about DJ Johnson as well, where the meltdown continued after the game was over.
Yeah.
With Oregon. 503-250-1080. That is a Fan text line. Beavs, Ducks. Want to get your thoughts on what was an epic football game in Corvallis on Saturday afternoon. This is Danny and Dusty right now is Rust, and he's got SportsCenter.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Well, I'm sure Metal Monday is really helping with the rage of Oregon fan today.
Tear him apart from the inside out.
Is that the name of this song?
No, that's the lyrics right there.
Oh, that's what he's. That's
yeah.
What that was.
That's what he said.
That's the words.
Okay.
All right. Your feedback on the Fan text line, 503-250-1080. Oregon falling to Oregon State, 38-34. Look, that was rough. Especially when you're up 31-10, you end up eventually up 34-17 as well. You have them doubled up as you're heading down the final stretch. 14 points in the fourth quarter. You had a 14-point lead, and that one just slips through your fingertips, and Oregon State made all the right plays, and Oregon made none of the critical plays.
I'll tell you what, man, the play for me, I know there's plenty of points to call on, but the one where the bell was answered was Oregon State defensively in the red zone on the goal line at the end of the game. That's it for me, man. It's just to show up there. That's not Oregon giving it to you. That's not Oregon making mistakes. That's you up against it and you making plays.
Well, and then getting a first down after that, not, you know,
getting out of shadows
before they hatch. Mm-hmm. That was finishing a game from Oregon State. Like that is how you finish a football game. And Oregon didn't. A lot is being made of the punting. And this text says, if you can't get punting unit functionally correct, functioning correctly, that is 100% coaching. Another one says a top 10 team should be able to punt the football. And that is there's going to be big time questions that need to be answered about Oregon and their inability to get a punt off effectively in that game. And it's really, this has been something ongoing throughout the course of the season where flirting with disaster, and it finally caught up with you in the special teams game on Saturday. When a trip to the Pac-12 championship game was on the line, you win, you're in. And they had an inability to punt the football. It changed in so many different ways, from the block to the muffed snap to being scared to punt
unwilling
in your own
territory. To punt at that
like
one
there
time.
Were three massive possessions that were dictated by the punt team.
It felt like for Oregon, all of the chickens came home to roost in one game. The inability to complete on fourth downs. Undisciplined in penalties. The special teams woes. Everything kind of, and it really all hit in one quarter. I mean, realistically, it literally hit.
Final 4 minutes of the third and then the entire fourth.
It just, everything came home to roost at once. And again, Oregon State capitalized.
Yeah. And, you know, I was saying in the last segment, this doesn't mean I don't believe Oregon's a poorly coached team.
No.
I don't think they are. This text says Oregon is a young coach team.
That's perfect.
And you can see that. And that is something, again, I'll reiterate this. Dan Lanning has been saying, he said it all season long, like, there will be mistakes that are made.
Listen,
and it's how we will grow from them and what we do after them. And this is the thing about Oregon lost three games this year. They weren't beat the same way three different times. And that's frustrating, but it's also one of those things where at least it isn't the same thing happening over and over and over again. You know, like, you lose a Washington game because you had an inability to stop the pass in the outside boundaries, and you had some boneheaded mistakes coverage-wise down the stretch of that game. You lose this one because in the trenches and in that special teams unit, the punt team that we were talking about, you could not finish a team off. That, to me, you have those two wildly different losses. Doesn't make either one less heartbreaking
to
your rival.
But you're not making the same mistakes. And here's the other part of this.
They're a young coach team.
For all of this, well, Nick Saban wouldn't make these mistakes. Nick Saban is literally twice the age of Dan Lanning.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Nick Saban is 71 years old. Dan Lanning is 36.
Mm.
I mean, Kirby Smart is damn near 50.
Yeah.
And he's the young SEC coach.
That's right.
I mean, so like this whole idea of, you know, Dan Lanning in his first head coaching gig is supposed to have all of this stuff buttoned up and taken care of. All those coaches, Nick Saban fell on his face for 20 years learning this stuff.
Text 503-250-1080. The end results of the Civil War can be summed up with one word: toughness. Oregon had the offensive issues due to the quarterback injury, had to run the ball to ice it and couldn't. Oregon State had to run the ball due to the quarterback issues of their own, and they did. That was the game. OSU exhibited toughness, whereas Oregon couldn't find it.
I normally don't like to call out toughness type stuff unless it's adamant, but in that fourth quarter, Oregon State, they chin-checked Oregon hard.
You get four attempts inside the five-yard line, that's the bring-your-own-guts. That's the tougher team wins right there.
And Oregon State, they put it on the line, and they won that battle, man.
Yep. Thoughts on the Bo Nix pulling it on fourth down run. This back-to-back text said, on that Bo Nix fourth down, Jaden Grant walked up, played it perfectly. Do you think Anthony Newman helped him scout that play? Oh, we talked about this on the pregame show. Anthony Newman, he coached Katana Ladapo at Central Catholic. And look, he learned Oladapo, led the team of tackles, had a pretty good teacher there. And then Jane Grant is a really good family friend, and I don't think Anthony Newman gave him any
giving
tips
him a scout.
How to do that, not any way, shape, or form. But I know that if there is one person that is absolutely gutted by the loss, but so happy for the way that Jaden Grant performed, it's Anthony Newman.
No,
it's
for
Anthony
sure.
Newman right there. And this one says, on the Knicks run, he had Coda open to his left side. If he'd thrown it to him, the Ducks would have gotten that fourth down. You could tell the fourth quarter after that, Nix wasn't right with his throws. He has guys open, just couldn't get it to him. And look, that probably has a lot to do with that ankle too. And this is something about Oregon's offense. Their RPO game, they have a run to the back where you could give, and that's questionable whether he gets it if he gives there. Jane Grant did play that phenomenally, pinching down and scraping
play
down.
Play with leverage, yep.
But, and Nix also has the ability to throw or run. And look, it's
he doesn't have
the
a stable throwing platform. Shoulda,
coulda, woulda, and we can all be Monday morning quarterbacks. But the reality of it is that they still had a chance to win after that fourth down and one that they did not get, and it was four plays inside the 5 yard line, and that was game set match right there.
I'm not being critical of Nix at all.
Nope,
not one bit. The last 2 weeks, he's absolutely gutted it out. Outside of the Georgia game, he's been pretty much mistake free the entire season.
Yeah.
I don't think he has played with anything that he should feel ashamed or going over his head. I could have, would have, should have done this differently.
Yeah.
Because again, you can watch him move, man.
Yep.
He's playing on one wheel.
Sure.
So for him to be as effective as he has been the last 2 weeks, you just tip your cap to him and move on. If you're a Duck fan out there being critical of Bo Nix, man, I'll be honest. You're barking up the wrong tree. you really are.
Oh, man. Okay. Help me understand. Refs picked up five flags all on the Beavs for holding and the linemen downfield calls. You wouldn't see five flags picked up the whole Pac-12 season for them combined. What was happening? I don't know. I didn't think that was a poorly officiated game. I mean, there's calls in every game that go both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't think that there's a lot of plays that Oregon could have been called for a holding on that? It's the breaks. It's the breaks of a game. And there's still other ample opportunities for Oregon to win. The fix wasn't in. It wasn't in by the refs. No, this was execution. This was execution and coaching. That's what led Oregon State winning. Yeah. And look, Oregon State won the game. They won that game.
Yes. When you have high leverage situations, that's what we always talk about in football. High leverage, because this is going to sound very weird. Outside of the high leverage plays, turnovers, scores, big plays.
Yeah.
The difference in what happens in those plays is negligible at best. The math bears this out. What happened was, in the high leverage situations, Oregon State basically won all of them.
You know what
in
people
the second half.
Don't want to hear, Danny, is the math checking out right now. Yeah, that is the worst thing you could tell an emotional fan is the math bears this out. Yeah, you know what the math bears out? This one right here, the finger I'm holding up to you, bud.
It's just how it goes, man. It's for all of the you can be frustrated with this, mad at this when you look at the history of football.
Yeah.
The high leverage situations, it's so grand in comparison to the other plays that if you come up on the wrong side of them too many times, regardless of everything else that you do, you will lose.
Yep.
And that's what makes football so unique, is that you do have, how many plays did we get in this game? I want to say like 140.
There's a lot of opportunities to win a football game.
Yeah, and that's in those situations, if you don't win those particular situations, situational coaching, situational football, and high leverage plays.
Yep.
And that's fundamentally what it comes down to.
All right, 503-250-1080. A lot of people asking about DJ Johnson as well, and that's a big question moving forward because the action didn't stop when the clock hit zero. Unfortunately for DJ Johnson. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, Oregon didn't just take an L on the field during the game. They took one after the game as well. DJ Johnson, a guy that we met at Pac-12 Media Day. He's a hell of a nice guy when we met him.
He loved us.
he is in some hot water, and you have to preface this by saying the obvious. It's inexcusable hitting anybody or punching anybody after a game. I mean, that is it. I mean, that's kind of where it starts and stops, is that DJ Johnson took a shove. I won't even say a swing. But it was more open-handed, but he shoved and kind of knocked the orange cowboy hat off an Oregon State fan who had stormed the field, and you can't do that. I mean, we talk about this all the time. We talk about this literally every time it happens when teams storm the field and something like this happens.
Just got to get off the field.
It's happened at Tennessee. It's happened, we saw it with, Austin Seferian Jenkins up at Washington State mm-hmm. when he played for UW after an Apple Cup. When the field gets stormed, you just get off the field as fast as you possibly can.
Because it's not going to turn out well, because you're going to get dumb fans saying dumb stuff too.
No, and all of these guys are... remember the Richard Sherman, Don't Test Me, Michael Crabtree interview that he did where he was yelling at Aaron Andrews, and everybody's like, what the hell's wrong with him?
Yeah.
It was, and his explanation was, look, we are so tightly wound for 3 hours that you come and you put a microphone in my face, I'm going to have a reaction of somebody who's so tightly wound for 3.5 hours. And
can't wait.
Each play, right? Yeah. Bart Scott, can't wait. There is an element of that. That doesn't excuse the fact that whatever it was that was said to DJ Johnson.
And let's be honest, it was probably something stupid.
Yeah. And let's not act like a Beaver fan was innocent and just didn't say anything.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say they weren't.
You saw his head turn as he said it. Uh-huh. And then DJ Johnson was like, not having any of it.
Nope.
again, not excusing DJ Johnson.
No.
But this is the exact reason why the Pac-12 has a rule that do not go on the playing field until, I think it's 10 minutes after the final buzzer. And then you can storm the field all you want.
Yeah.
But wait that time. And Oregon State will likely get a fine.
They'll get a fine out of it.
And DJ Johnson will get punished for this. Yeah. He will.
Shout out his coach, by the way, who
immediately was on it.
Immediately wrangled it and didn't escalate it. Didn't just brought him center. Dog, what are you doing? Nope. We got to go.
We're getting out of here and getting him off the field. But it doesn't excuse it. And DJ Johnson probably going to get suspended for the bowl game. I wouldn't be shocked at it if that happens, to see, you know, him get a suspension, because it's obviously something you cannot do in any situation, and especially when it's caught on camera like it was in front of everybody. It doesn't matter, because people don't hear what the student said, or the fact that the student was on the field, or the fan, or whomever it was, before they were supposed to be on the field. Nobody cares about that.
No.
All they care about is that they saw the guy in the green football uniform who took a swing at a student or fan of the opposition. Can't do it. Done.
It's period. Point
pretty
blank. Yeah.
Pretty black and white when it's right there on camera, and we'll see how Oregon handles this. Because it's not a good look. It isn't a good look. And if you want to make a sweeping generalization about DJ Johnson based off of that, then look, that's on you.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that I know that have had a lot of interactions, a lot more interactions than the one that you and I had at Pac-12 Media.
I'll tell you what.
They say he's an awesome young man.
He was with us, man. He was great.
Yeah.
When we got done, I was like, man, give me some more DJ Johnsons.
But that was a script, and he'll probably admit, I screwed up. I lost it.
You know what he is? Should. He's a kid.
He's a human. A human.
Who just got his ass handed to him.
It's a colossal one.
Like, that's you want to call back to a situation at Oregon where this same kind of thing happened. Oregon, Boise State. You get it handed to you when you're supposed to be big brother.
Yep.
It has you feeling a certain kind of way.
And look, we say the same things about fans who throw stuff after their team loses in the victory. Look, we had the Egg Bowl had a literal chair came out of the student section at Ole Miss and was, people were like, where'd that chair come from? Nobody knows, but a chair was thrown from the student section at Mississippi State's players. That's inexcusable too. When you're on the losing end of something and it's heartbreaking,
stuff happens.
They're going to have some bad mistakes being made. And, well, that was it right there for DJ Johnson. All right. We'll see how Oregon handles it, though.
Yeah.
But unlike Chip Kelly, it happens at the final game of the regular season for Dan Lanning, not the very first one.
You got to bookend it. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Coming up, hour number two, the coaching carousel is churning in the college football world. Did that affect Oregon's performance against the Oregon State Beavers? Because Kenny Dillingham has found a new home. And we have, as of moments ago, a new hire in the world of college football. We got that in hour number two. We'll have Shante Leggins, the head basketball coach at the University of Portland, coming up at 1:30. The Pilots with three incredible games in the PKI over the weekend right here in Portland. But where we start, hour number two. He struck a pose and the moment was made. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.